As a business owner, it's important to keep your business connected. Spectrum Business is committed to keeping your business online whenever and wherever you need us, all backed by the Spectrum Commitment. Get fast, reliable internet starting at $40 per month when bundled, or level up your internet speed and get a 3-year price guarantee. Learn how Spectrum Business can help your business stay connected at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
If you've been struggling with your weight, Mochi Health is here to help. Mochi Health is a long-term weight loss solution personalized to fit your unique needs and goals. Meet one-on-one with board-certified obesity doctors and registered dietitians who are on a mission to listen. Eligible patients can access custom-formulated GLP-1 medications at an affordable set price and get them delivered to their home each month. Take our free quiz at joinmochi.com and use code AUDIO40 at checkout for $40 off your first month of membership.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Nerd Talk, talking about Nerd Talk, yeah!
Hey, welcome to Nerd Talk Plus, our weekly deeper dive into the stories that make this world nerdier. From Odyssey's Nerd Talk, I'm the one guy. From Spokane, he's the other. What up?
Good morning. Hi there, Brandon.
Hey, congratulations, Brandon. You had a kid. Well, I mean, you obviously did all the hard work, but your family now has a child. Yeah.
My family
has cool.
There's a child that I have access to in the house now. Yeah.
Did you also become Catholic or like?
No, I mean, like, there's this other podcast that that I listen to, and they always talk about how when people say, like, my wife, it seems like they're, you know, claiming ownership over that person. And so they instead now they say the partner that I have access to, or like the cousin that I have access to. But now that I say it out loud and see your reaction to it, it sounds so normal when they say it, but when I say it, I sound like a perv.
Well, know your audience, right?
Like, the child that I keep in my basement.
No, that's where his crib is. That's like it's a finished basement. It's nice.
It's not, though. It is not a finished basement. It's a Finnish basement. F-I-N-I-S-H. It's from Finland. There's a sauna down there.
It's also a dungeon. It's not sex either. It's just a straight-up brutal dungeon. No. It's crazy.
Do you know anything about Finland, speaking of?
Yeah, I actually, dude, can I make an announcement on this show?
Please.
Finland related?
Did you buy Finland?
First of all, my former favorite race car driver of all time, Kimi Räikkönen, is from Finland.
Oh, cool.
And I say former because he got like kind of like, as the world chose sides, I always felt like he kind of chose the wrong side a little bit. Like,
yeah.
Like, I don't know. That's just me being weird. But then, you know, he like has the Iron Cross as part of his imagery. And he probably doesn't know what that means, but he's just like, that looks tough, like motorcycle riders. And I'm like,
like there are like two sides of like Scandinavia, right? They're like, there's like the super cool, universal everything for everybody all the time. We respect women and all that. But then there's also the like, we're white supremacists side
of it. Russia should have won.
Right.
Okay. So anyway, I don't know where he stands, but I just think that's kind of get rid of that dummy.
Sure.
He's just kind of a dummy. But.
So what's your announcement about Finland?
So I like really started liking Finland. And then
your announcement is that Kimi Räikkönen is no longer your favorite F1 driver.
It. Yeah. Thanks for joining us. He's from Espoo. I know that also. When MySpace blew up, I started a Kimi Räikkönen impersonation page.
Nice.
And people would send me messages being like creepy.
Ooh.
And I was like, I'm just really, really stoned in Tucson, Arizona, and you are very dumb. And then like I wonder what happened where everyone believes that like one guy's election was fake or whatever. Like anyway, that stuff aside. Like I gotta ask you a question. Do you ever enter a online contest before? You ever see something where it's like, hey, enter this Omaze thing and you could win 7 trucks and a trip to Uzbekistan?
Dude, I have a whole story about entering a contest. My parents entered it. it's a whole thing. I want to get to your Finland thing. I can tell you about this later, but I got to run the bases at a Mariners game in between innings wearing size 22 shoes when I was like 12 years old.
And why 22?
The whole thing was like you're little kids and you would start with wearing massive shoes that you could put on over your own shoes, and then you would run to first base and the other kid would run to third base, and then you put on a massive jersey, and then you run to second base, and then you put on massive gloves or something, and then whoever won got their picture with the Mariner Moose, and I mean, I'm sure the other kid got their picture too, but I won, so
yeah, man, cool.
Yeah, but well, it was awesome. It was like all because my parents entered like a random thing at a Kid Valley one time, which is a burger joint here in Seattle.
So this driver that my wife likes the most from Formula One, his name is Valtteri Bottas, and he is also Finnish. Okay. And she likes him because he's the number two guy at the top team, Mercedes. And so he gets kind of hated on and stuff, and he's super cool, and I like him too. And so he's really into coffee, and we're pretty coffee snobby at my place too. I got a mocha pot for Christmas. It's legit. I make badass coffee now. I love it. I was making AeroPress before, so I was making decent enough. And then you might as well just get a Chemex to complete the set. And
we do Chemex here at our house,
So anyway, it's like, and I gave up drinking any kind of cream in my coffee, so I just drink coffee black now, which is like the way to go. Because coffee sucks when you put cream in it, but if you find good coffee. Okay, anyway. So for Christmas, I bought her, we do themes, and it's like we did a coffee, tea, and a booze. And those are the three things. You try and pick something to match that person's personality. And so she loves Valtteri Bottas, and he loves coffee so much so that he funded a Finnish coffee company with his zillions of dollars that he's made. And so I ordered her some Finnish coffee for Christmas. And she got it, and she was like, oh my God, is this Bottas coffee? I was like, yeah. Wow, this is so cool. Well, at the same time, the thing that made me think of it is that I follow this coffee company on Instagram, and they posted, hey, leave your comment here, and you could win something. And I was like, whatever. And I was like, I tag a person, and all the stupid hoops you got to jump through. Well, the only thing I had to do was tag someone, and my wife likes Bottas. So I was like, okay, I'll do it. So I tagged her, and there we go. I wake up the other morning and I open up my Instagram and there it is. And it's like, hey, this is the CEO from Bottas Coffee Company. I don't even know the name. Bottas Coffee Company. Yeah. Congratulations. You win. And I was like, I don't even know did I enter a contest? Like, what am I even, the hell is even going on? But that entering that is what gave me the idea to buy the Christmas gift for her. So I was already grateful. I won a race-worn autographed Bottas helmet from the Brazilian Grand Prix.
What?
Yeah, he like wore the thing and drove the car.
So like F1, pretty intense. You're driving really fast. I think what I know more about F1 than anything else about the driving is that like the races are long, right? So
Hour and a half. Yeah,
hour and a half. So he's in the car for an hour and a half wearing that thing.
Yeah.
Did you sniff it?
No. So I haven't got it yet. That's the thing. Is
will
like,
you
when I get it,
will you sniff it?
Hell yeah, I'll sniff it to see what Bottas smells like after extreme pressure. Come on.
Great, cool.
So I like read this thing and I was like, why did I even win? And I was like, wait, I want a like a replica, like they sell these like little miniature helmets that you get. And I was like, no, this is a race worn helmet.
Awesome, especially as I know you and I know that you don't own like any extreme sport vehicles like an ATV or a dirt bike or anything like that, and people are going to come over and they're going to see a cool helmet in your house and they're going to be like, whoa, what, why is this?
I'm gonna get some furniture for it, like I'm gonna get something that is equally dope to put it on to be able to show people what it is.
Like armor or something, and then like the helmet on top.
Dude, a suit of like chainmail and No, wait, chainmail, is that the Link stuff?
No, chainmail is like the soft one and it's all flexy.
You want the exterior stuff.
You want like the full on like exterior.
Exoskeleton.
Yeah.
Oh, dude, how about how we used to dress up like bugs to fight each other? That's pretty cool.
It's pretty cool, actually.
Yeah. Wow. That's neat. So anyway, when it comes to Finland, like, I don't consider myself to be an expert. I know that like the Finnish army of snipers, like 40 guys held off the entire Russian army as they tried to invade Finland at one point in World War II. That's just because I follow real-time World War II on Twitter and they just post things every day and I like read it every day for like a year and a half.
Yeah.
Anyway, so like I don't know a lot, but like I have some pretty significant interest in Finland. Do you even remember why you asked me what I know about Finland now?
Well, because you were talking about my Finnish basement and
the non-sex dungeon. Yeah. Cool. Well, neither of us is a scientist, engineer, or supervillain.
Or Finnish.
But if you are, let us know. Just in general. That's all.
If you're Finnish, go on to wherever you're listening to this show or onto Twitter and tell us that you're Finnish. Don't tell us anything else. Just be like, yeah, hey, my name is Botas and I'm Finnish.
It me.
It me.
Oh, they spelled with two T's. That's the thing.
Somebody's going to have like been half listening to this show and going to tweet at us and be like, yeah, I finish in my coffee.
Oh. Yeah, hold on 1 second. I'm just going to make a note of that because that might have to get by the censors. There we go. So if you could tell a friend or, I don't know, write a comment like Brandon said, but maybe I almost called you Brian. That's a weird thing to say.
It's been
You've been gone for a couple months, so whatever. Or you could just hit us with your answer to this week's episode's question of the week.
Yeah, this week's question of the week is, how long do you pee for? I mean, pretty simple question. I mean, if you need to pause this or if you need to step away from the show for a little bit while we talk about the next couple things and go time yourself, let us know how long do you pee for, and then we'll talk about why in a little bit.
So Brandon, you have a new baby boy at your house, right? He's a boy. Okay. And at some point you'll have to potty train this. You know, have you changed a diaper and been peed on yet? Because the fire hose is just, has not been turned off.
My hand pooped on the other day. I was carrying him to his bath and I was carrying him by the Botas and it got pooped in.
Yeah. And remember, we talked about this before your baby was born, and I don't know very much, but the one thing I was like, is like the body, the gross stuff is not gross.
No, it's not like, bad. Yeah.
Yeah. It's just like, whatever, you just deal with it. And plus, it's actually kind of nice. Like,
he so far only pees on his mom, so it works out for me.
I can do that math. You need to be changing more diapers, bro.
I change the most diapers, and I really do change a lot of diapers.
But also, of the two of you, the one who is wiener equipped and understands how one works,
I just kind of know what to, you know, you turn the light switch down and you kind of keep it there while you do all the.
You know that toy that you hook up to the hose and then it just flops around, water everywhere? Yeah. That's kind of like what the first 6 months of wiener are like. It's just like, you don't know. You got to put a washcloth on there and go on with your life.
Well, speaking of having a kid and seeing that this is a technology and nerdy show, can I tell
you
about
a digital wiener?
Yeah.
Cool.
I heard they sell those things at Lover's Package now. can I tell you about a piece of technology that has changed my life?
Great, I'm in.
And it's related to parenting, and so if you're a parent listening to this, even if you're not a parent listening to this, because this is not something I knew about before parenting and I would have loved to know, even if I didn't plan on being a parent, I would have loved to know that other people did this. So I remember growing up, if you had a stuffed nose or something like that, your parents, there was that little
that
ball.
Is the worst toy at Christmas from 1987. It's stuffed nose.
There's that like ball.
Oh, like boogers come out. This thing's crazy.
It was like that ball syringe thing. You know what I mean? It was like a little, it kind of looked like a bulb with a little syringe on the end of it. And what your parents would do is they would squeeze it, they'd stick it up your nose, and then they would unsqueeze it, and that would suck the whatever out of your nose. Yeah. Well, we've gotten more sophisticated since I was a child, and they invented this thing that is, if I can remember what it's called,
A snot sucker?
It's like a snot sucker, but
it's like a reverse beer bong for boogers.
Yes. And so you, as the parent, stick this thing in the kid's nose, and then you suck on the other end all of the boogers out of their nose.
There's a filter. It keeps the bugs from hitting your...
Yeah, you're not just...
Like, you're not just getting... You're not freebasing boogers.
Yeah, you're not mainlining. Like, the guy that I saw in Spokane, where I live, like, parked next to me, just absolutely going to town, digging out, and, like, there was not even a... It was like he would pull out of his nose, he wouldn't even look at it, and it would go straight into his mouth. It was disgusting. Now, they've invented, I think that like that manual sucking out of the nose of the child that you have access to thing has didn't last very long, because now they have a electronic one. So I've been, and it's awesome. So like my kid this morning woke up, I saw some booger, he was breathing, thankfully. When you're a new parent, that's something that you're always worried about. So he was breathing, And but I noticed that it sounded kind of like there was some junk up there. And so I pulled out this thing, and you turn it on, and it's got a few different levels. And then it even has like a light show that you can turn on that is supposed to distract the kid while you're sticking this thing up their nose. Let me tell you, does not distract them. They hate the nose sucker thing. And then you're just sucking boogers out. And if you're a person that likes instant gratification, or if you've ever like, you know how like there's that thing where that pimple lady on Instagram is like so pop, everybody loves to watch the zits get popped, or if you like popping your own zits and you don't like to watch other people's zits. Anyway, it's a satisfying thing. And you're right, like a lot of the body things that you think are going to be gross about having a kid, like the poop and the pee and the spit up and all that, it's not actually that bad when you're, you know, it's like you have a task to accomplish, so it's like you're not worried about the grossness of it, right?
Yeah, it's only when it happens to you during sex that it's a problem. Like, that's when it's bad.
Yeah, I have, you know what? To be fair, I have not tried the nose sucker thing on my wife during sex, so we'll see how that goes.
I meant the fluids, but yes, okay. Hold still.
Anyway, I'm learning about like all.
Wait,
of
these... who do you own your wife? Is that what I'm understanding?
Just the wife I have access to.
Okay, thank you.
There's all sorts of like technology these days around like kid having, and this one so far has, actually there's this other one I haven't tried it yet because it freaks me out a little bit, but it's called like a windy stick, and it's in case your kid is like plugged up and can't fart or something.
Yeah,
you like put some coconut oil on it, you stick it in, and apparently if it whistles it means that you're relieving the gas. And I'm like, they could have made it make no noise, but instead they made it whistle. And they were just I don't know.
Yeah. Hold on, I'm just processing this. Like,
yeah. It's like a crack pipe that you stick in your baby's butt in order to relieve gas.
Do crack pipes whistle? Is that something that I need to know about? Like, if I'm like walking by a corner and like third and something in Seattle and I hear whistling, am I like, I got your crack pipe. Dun 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 dun.
Hey, my kid's gassy. Can I borrow that?
So, you know what you do for that? Just as sorry, we've lost everybody at this point. Yeah, we're just talking about baby butts. Yeah. Just like what you do is you do pedaling.
Yeah, the bicycling. Yeah, I saw. Yeah, I've awesome. Seen that. And if you do that, you kind of massage the little.
Hey,
does
your baby cry?
He does cry, but not a ton. He's really chill.
Try like ohm based meditate.
I've seen that.
And hold him on your. It's amazing how quickly a baby will be like, "What the hell is this thing?"
We usually just stick my wife's boob in his mouth, and it works out.
Yeah. That's that's pretty cool.
Yeah. Sorry, the wife I have access to.
The boob
that she has access to.
So this all came from how long do you pee for? Yeah. And by now you've had enough to drink, or maybe you've thrown up at some point or something like that. That when you go pee, just hit the little stopwatch on the iPhone. Let us know what that is, because
and wash your hands.
Well, we'll find out if you're peeing too much or perhaps too little. Okay. Anyway, so China is absolutely seems like they're kicking our ass in some awesome space stuff.
Our both
also,
ass.
And like it seems like it. Yeah, thank you. Check. Also, it seems like they might be kicking the world's ass in like human rights violations, but I don't know. That could also be propaganda. It's definitely not. Yeah. But Chinese scientists are ready to get a lab running on the friggin' moon, which is cool. They're accelerating their plans. To do so, they created a moon simulator on Earth.
Okay, didn't we do that? Didn't NASA do that in the 60s?
The South China Morning Press, I believe, is the name of the website that reports on Chinese stuff to stupid American people like myself. Well, they figured out how to recreate lower gravity in a lab on Earth after a project that I don't understand, that they levitated a frog using magnets. And I'm like, first of all, I want to go to the frog levitation lab. That sounds so dope. Secondly, don't ever invite Insane Clown Posse. There's no amount of explanation that'll work for them, okay? And also, when we said we wanted a moon bounce for a birthday party, China freaking over-delivered, okay? Like,
I just love the idea of, you know, like, Hey Steve, what, you know, you're in the China space lab down on Earth. Hey Steve, what are you
working with? Steve.
Yeah, with Steve. Hey Steve, what are you working on over there? Oh, I'm building the moon lab. Oh dude, sounds sick. What does that entail? Put some magnets on some frogs.
I got this windy stick thing and I get the frogs the magnet right up that frog's in the way.
And he just kind of woo all
floats
over.
Right by. It's badass.
Yeah, he does have a little bit of a crack problem though now, so that's the only issue.
I understand that Chinese authorities are now monitoring American social media and media and stuff like that, and I just like to go ahead and say that hello.
Hi.
I believe the Mandarin term is ni hao. Yeah, welcome to the show. If you made it through the first 19 minutes and you're still here, like, thanks.
They started
thanks for listening, China.
They listened for about 3 minutes and were like, these guys, not a threat. They're fine. No, this is actually pretty crazy.
Wait. He had a male baby. Keep it going.
Awesome. There we go. Only
you
one.
You guys are all right.
First of all, you said Chinese scientists are ready to get a lab running on the moon. And the first thought was like, is it a golden lab? Is it a chocolate lab? Like, I would pay to see a dog run on the moon. But now we're talking about frogs on the moon. So
is it a Labradoodle? So follow up question. Can I send my terrible dog, the Aussie Doodle, up there too? Just to see you later, nerd.
Not a lab. Can't go.
Ah, damn it.
Now, my question though is, you know how like when you become an astronaut, not Jeff Bezos, when you become an astronaut and you get an official portrait, right? You know, like NASA has all of the official portraits of all.
Yeah,
of
the one guy got the two dogs with him.
And then like I would imagine, like, you know, the Russians sent up that dog way in, and I think monkeys or chimpanzees have even been sent to space at this point. Do they all have portraits? Last question is, does this frog get a spacesuit and a portrait on the wall in the Chinese space place?
Has he been to space or does he just levitate on Earth? I don't like.
If you're levitating on Earth and you're a frog, I think that you get to be an astronaut.
What happens if you. Is there such thing as Frog Magneto? Like, is that him?
Frognito.
Yeah, cool. I'm in. Favorite X-Men. Magneto, for sure.
A Teenage Mutant Gravity Frog.
Yeah, the perfect anti-gravity frog.
Anti-gravity frog, yeah.
Thank you. So I've been reading about I just said ni hao here a second ago, and it's obviously I would never be able to handle Mandarin. I'm 1 year, congratulations to me, I'm 1 year of success into my Duolingo mission of learning Italian, and boy, I feel like if an Italian person started talking to me slowly, I would either start crying, pee myself, or punch them because I'd be so afraid of the words that they were saying.
First of all, it seems like you should have been learning Finnish. Second of all, if you peed yourself because somebody started talking to you in Italian, how long would you pee for? And those are my only questions.
I'm trying to... Is it I miei pantaloni? I think it's that's close enough, right?
Yeah.
Anyway, but yeah, we're talking about these other languages. Well, I'm reading about a language of the future called Lojban, Lojban. Is that how you'd say that? Lojban?
Lojban.
Oh, yeah. A self-described, carefully constructed language designed with the intention of eliminating ambiguity from human communication. You could read more about their mission at lojban.org, but good luck removing ambiguity because no politician will ever vote for the language where lying isn't allowed. Like, this would never work. Pardon my language. But.
Did you ever read 1984?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I did it in high school.
It's like I never had to read it in high school, and I've heard that people often misuse 1984 to say things about politics nowadays. And so it's like I've never read it, so I don't know. So I read it recently, and there's this whole entire plot.
Thank you.
Thank you. There's this whole entire plot about this like subplot about the language, about how they're trying to reduce language to be as like thoughtless and direct as possible. And this is what this makes me think of. Now, the way that the way that they describe it, it says logjam allows the expression of nuances and emotion using words. So they're saying that you can use emotion, right? So using words called attitudinals, which are like spoken emoticons.
Cowabunga!
Teenage Mutant and a Gravity Frog. They're like spoken emoticons. So, for instance, the U-E mark that you're surprised. The B-A apostrophe U marks that you are exaggerating. And so what I
cool
read
shirt,
out of this...
B-A apostrophe U.
Hey, how dare you? This is my favorite shirt. I am U-E surprised that you would say something like that. And I feel like there's always...
Do they have a Duolingo for that? Because I will jump in. Ground level here. I will learn the new dumb language.
Is this like nerdier than speaking Klingon? Or is it less nerdy? Because like at least there's a community of people who are all into something with Klingon. Like this language is just like you're just into this language.
Wow, dude, you really hit on something there, because there is nothing less cool than learning Klingon, but also there's nothing cooler than not giving a crap if other people care about you learning Klingon. Like, there's like, it's such a divisive thing. If you're not familiar with Klingon, it's the wrinkly-headed people from Star Trek, and they speak in this very aggressive, probably supposed to be like German-Russian equivalent the bad guys. But like, and people like take it, there's like a whole dictionary and people take it, talk, knock, talk, bech, you know, they like take it really far or whatever. And yeah, it's, I can't, like, if you really learn that, like, there is no point to it except for like not getting laid at a Star Trek convention.
Okay, so I guess my other take from this is,
but Lojban, you don't get anything. Like, there's no advantage to learning Lojban,
and that's what I'm saying is, like, so they say it's a self-described, carefully constructed language design. And if we know anything about language or anything about humans, is that nothing carefully constructed has ever, like, taken off. You know, it's always like the natural, like language develops and like evolves naturally. The way that we use, we talked about this, I think maybe one of the last times that we chatted on this show is the way that we use emojis now. Like that was something that just naturally kind of, and it sucks, sure, but it is naturally contrived, like the way that people naturally are communicating using the things that have naturally come to, not that emojis natural, like they were created by a person, they're not from nature, but it's just our society and our culture, our species develops kind of not carefully constructed, you know what I mean? So try to get something like this to take off doesn't seem realistic, despite how cool Logjam might sound.
A couple weeks ago, while you were gone, we were talking about the disparity and the ability to read, and I believe that we only, as Americans, only read, like 54% of Americans read at a sixth grade or higher level. And so the idea that you're going to expect people to learn this other language where there's, like, it might be easier to speak, I don't know, but to have to, like you said, employ structure.
Yeah.
And then expect people to not just be super half-assed and lazy about it is like a thing. Now, I'm not saying that people who can't read are super half-assed and lazy.
No.
I'm just saying that when you don't understand the structure, you're going to replace things in language. And so something like this, it's idealism at its, like, at its finest or whatever.
Yeah. So. Speaking of only reading at a sixth grade level, right after I was done reading 1984, I was like, whew, that's heady. I need to read something dumb. I saw something about this show that's coming out on Sci-Fi that's based on a book. And so I went and bought the book on Amazon so I could read it on Kindle. And it's called Fat Vampire. And now I've read three of them and they are so dumb. But you know what? It is mindless. And
help us out. Help us out. Is Fat Vampire about a vampire who's unfit or a vampire who likes to liposuck?
Like or I thought you were going to say like a vampire who like wears FUBU and it's P-H-A-T vampire. No.
He's a late 90s vampire. It is so dope.
The entire concept. So first of all, the way I found out about it was, I don't know if you've seen any of the new Spider-Mans with Tom Holland, but his best bud in the show is Ned. And that actor is playing the fat vampire in this new series that's going to be out on the Sci-Fi channel.
This is so rude.
Now, I know. But so I was like, that sounds hilarious. So I went to read the books. And the idea is that this guy, he's a social outcast.
Oh, it's F-A-T. I just looked it up.
Yeah, this is this guy, this character, the fat vampire, his name is Reginald, and he is not a vampire. And
this guy cannot win.
he meets a vampire, he almost dies, and then this vampire turns him into a vampire in order to save him. It was his friend, he didn't know he was a vampire, but he turns him into a vampire to save him. Now, because they're vampires, they are stuck in whatever corporeal state that they were when they were turned. So he can't lose weight, he can't gain weight, he like can't do all of the fun fast things like or strong things like regular vampires. So he's just stuck being like 350 pounds, 6 foot for the rest of his life. So the entire concept is just that like he got turned into a vampire and now he's fat forever.
Jacob Batalone is of Hawaiian descent. He's an American from Honolulu, aged 25 years old. Appeared in all those Spider-Man movies. I'm just skimming his Wikipedia as we go, but
Hey,
did you ever end up seeing the Ten Rings?
Oh, no, dude. Shang-Chi?
Yeah.
Yeah, I need to see that. So I was just talking to somebody about that last
night.
You're
the one who told me to see it, and then you haven't seen it. I know.
Is there a fat vampire in that? Is that why you brought
it up? No, I'm just curious, because it's like, this is like the, this is a good time for... it's been a really, other than Fat Vampire, which is like, you make sound like, I don't know, it's been a really good time for Asian centric things to blow up. And I'm stoked about that. I grew up with a best friend who is Korean. And so, you know, he told me one day, he was like, imagine growing up in Albuquerque as an Asian. And I was like, oh, that must've been awful. We were like 30 at the time. And he was like, yeah, that was not good.
Yeah.
I was like, cool. No wonder you look you live in like New York, where it's a cultural melting pot. Like, I do not blame you. Okay. All right. Well, that's good. What else we got today?
Speaking of not reading, I hear there's a new law about terms of service.
Good transition. That's nice. Now think this one through for me a little bit, okay? I want you to think about this. How many times have you read the entire, I'm talking the whole thing.
Zero. I'm telling you now, zero.
Entire terms of service before clicking agree.
Zero. I for my job, I've had to read a few entire terms of service for websites that I work on just to scan them for errors and things that. No. But never for something that I was like giving my credit card or data to.
Like, I don't think I've made it one sentence into it. They're like, they could be like, the legal terms of this, go f*** yourself. You're a piece of you're the worst person ever invented, and I'd be like, yep, agree.
Yeah. Just please just send me the shirt that I ordered.
Right? Or like, let me listen to my songs. I just want to.
Okay, I will, you fat vampire. Just click agree.
Well, lawyers, you need to stay out of this, because this is like, this is not fair, because you probably have. I see a bunch of people on TikTok. They're like, hey, did you know that you could do this when you go to get your refund on your airplane? I'm a lawyer and I read all the terms. Like, yeah, go, you know, F yourself. All right. A new bill was introduced that would force tech companies to offer effectively the TLDR skimmable version of the legal jargon via a Terms of Service Labeling, Design, and Readability Act. Now, look, let's be real. It could just say, we're going to sell your data, okay, and I probably still wouldn't read it. They could simplify the terms of service down to 5 lines. I'd be like, I don't have time for this.
They've already now on all of the websites made it so you have to click that you accept the cookies, and they, that alone is like usually one sentence or two sentences.
Oh, I've never read even a single one.
Exactly.
Like, it's like, do you accept the cookies? Yeah.
Like, just give me the cookies. I don't want any of this.
I've been waiting for so long for all these cookies that people keep promising me, and I've gotten none. Hey, what does the Girl Scouts of America do except these cookies thing look like? There's a huge joke opportunity there, and I hope that they've taken advantage. That'll be the first one I read.
Yeah. So, first of all, leave it to Americans to pass a bill that makes it us have to lead rest before we do anything about passing bills about guns or other laws that are important.
Did you say lead rest?
I don't know. I can't read, apparently. I'm too deep into Fat Vampire, bro.
You literally read less. That's amazing. This show is the best thing. There might be only, the numbers might be small that listen to this show, but good God, if you are with us this far, you are welcome. I am proud of this.
Yeah, I'm currently waiting for girlscouts.org to load so I can see what their cookie message is.
I'm dead. You've killed me.
Oh, it's boring. It's Girl Scouts of the USA uses cookies on our website to provide you with the best possible experience. By continuing to use the site, you are providing your consent to use our cookies. Well, obviously, I want to use your cookies. For more information, please see our cookie
policy.
For
my fat vampire.
Yeah, that is so boring. Like, I feel like this is the perfect opportunity to do a fun cookie joke. You know how like some websites have like really fun 404 pages? Like, if you click on a broken link or something, it'll be like, whoopsie daisy, and then a fun gif of something happening that's stupid.
It's like Reddit is like the king of that or whatever.
Yeah,
like that. Okay. Well, Yeah, so anyway, like, all the terms, like, Apple gives me a new one every so often, and I'm like, what do you mean I have to scroll to the bottom to agree? This sucks. I just want to click now.
Yeah, just
like,
write it in Logjam, and maybe I'll click it faster.
Well, that brings us around to the return of our question of the week. Listen, I'm just minding my own business. When someone sends me an article from IFL Science, I hope you know what that website is, but talking about the ideal amount of time that you should be peeing to show that you're keeping the stress off your bladder, an effective way of monitoring your health. Brandon, do you keep track at all of the amount of time that you pee?
Well, yes, and only because my wife, who was recently pregnant, the wife that I have access to, who was recently pregnant, went and saw a PT, a physical therapist, a PT,
LOL,
a P therapist. I don't remember the specifics of how long she said that you're supposed to pee, but I remember, like, my wife came home from her appointment and she was like, hey, this is how long you're supposed to pee in order to, for the same point as this article is making, this is how long you're supposed to pee in order to, you know, like, relieve the stress on your bladder. If you wait for too long, you convince your bladder to do these things. If you pee too frequently, if you don't wait for it to load up enough, then you know, you're always going to be peeing. Anyway, I remember immediately going to the bathroom and
peeing, two, three, four.
And thinking I was going to die because I peed for literally twice as long as what the PP therapist said I was supposed to pee. So I was like,
PPT?
The PPT, yeah. I remember my wife came home and she was like, it's something like 11 seconds. And I was like, I'm here at 1 minute and 30 seconds.
It's still going, baby. Let's go. Woo! Look at that bubble fly. Fire, you know, fire for life.
You know, when you're like kind of drunk and you go to a bar and you pee for like what seems like 3.5 minutes.
One of my best early tweets from Twitter, obviously, that's where it comes from.
Yeah.
I had like the longest pee of my life and I just tweeted the longest pee and people were like, I know, it was like 1 a.m. and people were like, I get it.
I
know where
you're
at, bro.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, it's the follow up question, I guess. How often do you think you pee per day? Like, how many times do you hit the head?
Ooh, that's a good question. I would say I try to drink a lot of water when I'm working. I'm on a very sweet family paternity leave right now, so I don't work as much, which means I am not hydrating. So right now I'm peeing probably like once an hour.
Oh my God. For real?
Maybe not even that frequently.
Oh, no.
Probably not even that frequently.
I am mocked in my household.
Why?
Because I pee like never.
Oh, like, gosh.
Like, first thing when you wake up in the morning.
Yeah.
I wake up at 4.
Yeah.
The 9 a.m. mark, I'm back again.
Okay.
Maybe like late afternoon and then before bed. Like, I maybe pee 4 times a day.
Is something wrong with me or is something wrong with you?
This is the problem!
So, okay, do you track how long you pee? Like, are you timing it?
Okay, so back to what we were talking about earlier before we got into non-sex dungeons.
Yeah,
When we started potty training, it became, like, a way to motivate kids who are being resistant is to say, like, I'll race you up the stairs. That's not a good example because they fall and die. But, who can clean up the most whatever first? Okay. Or, like, who could pick up all the clothes from the ground? They love it. They get really into it. Well, when you're potty training, the idea is, like, let's count how long you pee for. And so it's like, whoa, you got a 20 Mississippi that time. Ah, great job. Okay, great. And, like, we never count accurately or whatever. But I immediately started counting how long I pee for where that happened. And now I can't stop. I'm like, I'm into it.
Greg, how many Mississippis do you pee for?
I don't think there's a time in my day where I don't pee for less than, like, 45.
45 whole Mississippis?
Yeah, man. Like, and that doesn't seem like a lot, but you go, everyone listening, go pee right now.
Yeah.
And then get back at me and tell me how long you actually went pee for.
It is a lot.
The time that you are supposed to monitor for your ideal bladder health is 21 seconds. Again, iflscience.com or whatever. 21 seconds. Like
that.
Now,
that doesn't seem like enough time.
Well, you know what? We could run an experiment. Are you ready? Hold on. Let's just run an experiment here. Okay. All right. Oops. All right. Excuse me. Pardon me. Okay. Here we are. Ready? We're going to count 21 seconds up here. Ready?
Okay.
Go.
I hope somebody's actually peeing right now. Like, somebody listening to this was like, oh, perfect. I've been waiting for this chance. They're going to time it.
probably didn't give him a long enough time. Hold on. Yeah. 10 seconds.
Okay. That was 10 seconds? Okay. See, now it kind of seems like a lot. But when you're sitting here doing nothing, it seems like a lot.
Okay, stop. So that was 21 seconds. That didn't seem like very much to me because I pee in like monstrous amounts, evidently. I'm 6'5". Maybe that's part of it. Maybe I have like an appropriately large bladder for my giant, stupid body. Yeah. I don't.
Do you drink a lot of water?
No, I mean, not really.
But I think what happened,
I get made fun of for drinking water.
You only pee like 3 times a day, 4 times a day. So yeah. Like that's probably your problem. I think you're supposed to be peeing more often so you're not peeing for as long.
Yeah, I don't.
You
like,
can
I don't
like
know.
Watch whole videos on your phone while you pee. Like
I do. When I'm at home.
Sure. Yeah.
No, maybe not like that. Like in the work journals or whatever. Someone comes in, I'm like, you tell them, dude, who can cook. Yeah. If you know, you know. Yeah. Yeah. All right.
How long did you pee for? Exactly 1 segment of Weekend Update.
Now, so I don't know. 21 seconds seems just bonkers to me.
Yeah, because, that's like, that's even short for me who pees a lot.
Everyone I know who's had a baby goes like 300 times a day for like 5 seconds is like marathon pissing for them, right?
Yeah.
And like, I thought every dude I knew like could go once a week for 11 minutes. Like I didn't, I thought I was peeing frequently. I didn't realize that I was. And my buddy Manly, like he's like a break the seal guy. And then like if he breaks the seal, he goes every 5 seconds or whatever. Yeah. And I'm like, did you have a baby at your wiener or like what happened?
I feel like there's this is how I know that I'm getting old is like when this kind of conversation actually starts to feel very relevant to me where I'm like, oh, like at what point do I need to like go to the doctor about how much my pee is coming out?
You're fine. Whatever. Yeah, just die already. Who cares?
Yeah, yeah. So, toss me into that volcano.
Oh, speaking of which, yeah, that mega volcano that hit it, that Tongan volcano. That's
insane.
And they don't even know how to track it at this point. That's nuts. But I don't want to talk about that. No, I want to talk about why we're all left.
Great.
This week, we're talking about how a very common kissing disease could actually be the indicator that you have something much worse in your future. Oh, good.
Sweet.
You ever had mono? You ever get mono when you were a kid?
Dude, I had, in college, I got mono, pneumonia, and strep throat all at the same time.
Good God.
Yeah, it was the worst.
You're indestructible now, though. That's the nice part. Like, it's like.
I also then got the swine flu. It was so sick.
Yeah, swine flu is the predecessor to the coronavirus.
Yeah.
But you also got that, so.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
Well, a concerning article at Gizmodo.com says scientists think they can link multiple sclerosis to Epstein-Barr virus. Now, I don't know what Epstein-Barr virus is at all. My immediate reaction was like, have I had Roseanne Barr? Like, did we talk or like what?
It is the love child of Jeff Epstein and Roseanne Barr.
He did. She canceled.
Yeah.
Then I read that it was my wife sent this to me, and she was like, "I'm not saying you have it because she knows my propensity for freaking out." She's like, "I'm not saying you have it.
MS.
Yeah. But I know you've had mono, and so I read the article, and it's like almost all humans will have contracted Epstein-Barr virus.
Yeah." It's like one of the most communicable diseases. It's like it's basically like a very bad. I'm pretty sure it's just a really bad version of the cold.
So she knows two people that. Well, she knows one person and her friend.
Okay.
That got mono, from at the same time. So they must have been licking or something like that. And why would I say that?
I don't know why they were licking botas.
Thank you, Brandon. We have a much more classy term for that.
Yeah.
Anyway, they both got, and then like years later, they both got MS.
And
it's like, is that a coincidence or like what is that? And like, if they say that almost all humans will have contracted Epstein-Barr at some point, regardless if you show symptoms or not, I had literally the worst recorded case of mono in the state of New Mexico in 1997. My doctor was like, hey, he like called me to be like, hey, I just want you to know this is wild. This is the worst case of mono in terms of cell count that we've had all year in the state.
I just want to let you know that I'm going to win an award for this, and you're just going to be very sick.
To be fair, it was New Mexico, so at the time they were still bloodletting to be able figure out how to solve these problems. Yeah. So like my big thing is like, should I wear, like, now I live in Seattle where there's like not enough vitamin D.
Yes.
And should I be, tell me about it. And should I be like concerned that I'm not doing anything to counter that? And like, am I just setting myself up for like, dude, you're totally going to get the MS or it's just everyone gets it. So whatever.
Everybody gets MS. No, everybody gets mono. And I think that the point that, I mean, I'm sure these scientists, I'm sure, are very smart.
God.
They're drawing these conclusions that, you know, or like they're thinking that they can connect mono to MS, but they're also saying at every point, like every person for the most part is going to get mono in some way, shape, or form. And so that's
not
like,
necessarily mono, but Epstein-Barr. That's like the
sure,
thing.
Sure, sure,
like
sure.
Epstein-Barr virus is the thing that leads to mono. Right. So it doesn't have to be.
And so basically what they're saying is like, if you breathe oxygen, you could get MS. It's like, well, yeah, I mean, yeah. That's kind of, you're probably just as likely to get MS as you were if you hadn't gotten the Epstein-Barr virus. So I don't know. It's just, you know, it's kind of like if you drink coffee, you're more likely to get cancer. If you drink coffee, you're gonna live 10 years longer.
I don't think it's like that, though. I feel like that there's like more hard science with virus study than with people who that consume BOTOS coffee. Like, I just don't.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know. It just seems like they kind of like immediately undercut their point. If you get Epstein-Barr virus, you could get MS. It's like, but everybody gets Epstein-Barr virus. So.
Okay. I'm with you now.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I feel better. Thank you. I feel better. But. Because we need something to end on that's a little bit nicer, a little bit easier to swallow, and not just like, hey, everyone has a pretty good shot of getting MS, which is kind of what we said a little bit.
Yeah.
I just want to say that finally we can wave goodbye to the gates of hell. Turkmenistan, a country that I can't point to on a map, and you certainly couldn't click the accept for terms of services on, is shutting down something called the gates of hell. First of all, the devil must be so mad. Like, God, son of a bitch.
A bunch of goth kids are so
I didn't even
upset.
Get Trump back yet. Ah, damn it. Now, it's not a literal portal to the bad place, actually. Rather, it's a sinkhole about as big across as a football field. So imagine, in our case, Lumen Field, or insert whatever baseball or football stadium you like. Imagine if just a hole just swallowed that whole thing. That's a little extreme, but, you know, whatever. Yeah. That happened in the early 70s where this like pit just opened up and it's been on fire ever since.
Well, they think that what happened is that some, like, at the time, Soviet scientists and researchers were out there looking for natural gas, and they found this sinkhole that was spewing it, and they were like, oh, well, we should probably like keep that from spewing the natural gas everywhere, so we'll light it on fire. It'll probably burn out for a couple weeks. It's now been burning for decades.
Literally for 50 years, this thing has been, oh, maybe not literally, almost for 50 years, this thing has just been on fire. Now, they're very progressive government. They have a progressive person in charge right now who rides a bike everywhere, that type of that type of forward thought. He's like, dude, we gotta put this thing out. And I'm like, I mean, something called the gates of hell being closed is probably not a terrible idea.
Right.
But also, I want to go there first, and I have zero interest in going to a place called Turkmenistan that I can't point to on a map. There's a lot of other places I'd rather go to first or go back to second.
Finland, obviously.
Yeah, obviously.
I mean, I even knew a girl in high school who her and her family were from Turkmenistan, and I thought she was making it up. Like, I thought that she was like...
You're like, okay.
Yeah, okay. You combined Turkey with all of the Istans and...
I got it. That's where the fat vampires come from.
Obviously. Yeah, obviously. Okay, so the reason... Okay, this is... And actually, now that I think about it, I think she was from Tajikistan, which also made up. Okay, the reason that they want to close it is because it has been spewing out, on top of the fire, or because of the fire, methane and other noxious gases for decades, and that the health of locals has become a concern. So after almost 50 years, they're like, oh, well, maybe we should be worried about the locals. But at the same time, as this same president, Berdim Mukhmedov, who has wants to close the gates of hell, because that sounds like, imagine being like in your re-election campaign. Well, literally close the gates of hell.
Yeah, I don't know. We got this Biden guy over here. Who knows what he did, but I closed the gates of hell.
They tried to close it before and they failed. But so as much as they want to close it because of the health issues and whatever, Berdimuhamedov even filmed a video of himself in a rally car in 2019 doing donuts around the crater to disprove rumors of his death. So he's not that worried about it. And honestly,
he's awesome.
Yeah, Berdimuhamedov, that's going to be way less cool of a stunt when this thing is no longer on fire.
You're going to light it back on fire, dude, obviously. Like, you old Birdie flipping donuts around this thing. Let's
Maybe
go.
Maybe he wants to like get rid of the fire so that he can do a jump over it and light it on fire at the same time.
Perfect. This is now your progressive thinking, dude. Brandon.
Dude, okay, here's the idea.
Get it. Get
next, it. Next step. He is vying to get the next Olympics in Turkmenistan, and that's going to be the Olympic torch.
They're going to relight the gates to hell.
Yeah. Now, Dave Grohl dressed up like a devil comes out. It's going to be awesome.
Jack Black is shredding guitar at him. It's a whole thing. But like, it's all overdubbed in Turkmenistanian.
Yeah.
What about language they speak there? We should look that up.
Probably log jam.
if things go the right way. Well.
It's called Turkmen.
Is it?
Yeah.
Did you just look that up?
I just Googled it. Yeah.
Well, hold on. Let me just start with something. Like, that brings us to the end of our show where we want to know, what did you learn this week? This is the Hattie Show. I just learned and forgot that Turkmenistan speaks something.
Turkmen.
Cool. I also learned that Brandon's next career could be a PPT.
That actually, you know what? Now that I spent much more time with the child that I have access to and the fluids that he has access to, that doesn't sound like a bad career.
This week I learned that Brandon needs to find ways of saying the people in his life differently, because it just sounds like he's paying for access. That hooker I have access to, top class. Hey, she is a courtesan of the highest degree.
She speaks logjam. It's great.
Do you learn anything this week, Brandon? You got anything here?
I learned a new word to talk about butts around Greg, and it's botas. Nerd talk,
talking about nerd talk, yeah! Hey, join us next week, 10 a.m. on a Tuesday on the Odyssey app, where you're listening right now, perhaps. I don't, whatever. Good to have you back, Brandon. Congratulations on the baby, and we'll see you next Tuesday.
Yeah, thanks. Bye.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need, and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line, plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for a limited time and subject to change, max one offer per account.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Want to travel like a savvy jet setter? No, that doesn't mean monogramming your passport. It means making smart decisions every step of your trip, which means knowing your options. Smart Travel unpacks the facts, like which booking sites actually save money, how to fly first class using points, and if that fancy travel card is a smart investment, all so you can save more on your next adventure. Follow Smart Travel from NerdWallet today and start traveling like a pro.
At MLBShop.com, you can get all the latest officially licensed merchandise for you and your family. But if you really want to level up your game, You can grab something for your dog walker, your Pilates instructor, your swim coach, your neighbor, your accountant, your gardener, your best friend, your bandmate, your boss, your kid's teacher, your mailman. Visit MLBShop.com and stock up on officially licensed on-field merchandise from your favorite teams.
Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Podcasting isn't just evolving. It's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined, a new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now and what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Fridman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The Revolution Redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads and we got to do all that. But we all got into it because like, I think most of us, like, it just gave us a feeling.
A three-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colone for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.